first speaker is Bob Gunther, and just the facts about Bob. He is married to the lovely Valerie, who I just met, and she assured me that they've been married a year. So I'm not sure what the significance of that is, but she made sure that I got that right. They're from Lafayette, Indiana. Bob's been in the Truth for over 30 years. He's currently retired, but he is the president of Truth for Today. He was previously with Eli Lilly. In what capacity?
A buyer.
As a buyer. Okay, great. Yeah, I was...
No. No. Pretty good for a man who takes a show.
He was with who?
Eli Lilly.
It's a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. Drugs.
Megan's a Prozac.
Very big. Very big. Very big. And headquartered in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. So with that... That moderately slow song took 15 of your minutes, so you only have a half hour left. Actually, you're just taking Barney's time, so...
Correct.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Bob.
We're going to be in 2 Timothy tonight.
Great.
The first chapter. We're only going to kind of be looking at one word, but we'll be doing a lot of talking about the one word. And this one word we're going to be looking at is the word gift. What happens in this epistle? Paul is going to be speaking to Timothy, and he's going to let's just read the first 6 verses. I just explained that too much. Forrest said some nice things about a couple of us already. I think of this as the Apostle Paul saying something nice about Timothy. So he's giving just a little bit of background about him. Paul says, Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. That's probably about as high a praise as, you know, you can give someone. He didn't actually physically adopt him, but he considered him like one of his own sons. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. We could say that Paul was a prayer warrior, someone who was constantly in prayer. He says in another place, to pray without ceasing. We're not sure how he does that, how he prays without ceasing, but I think it's just an attitude. He's in an attitude of prayer. And he stays in touch with the Father. In verse 4, he says, greatly desiring to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. One of the things we can find out about this Timothy, that he was a timid person, someone who was a little bit backward, a little bit shy. He was a young man, so part of his problem was his youth. He didn't feel like that he was capable of speaking and capable of teaching and instructing. And so these are some of the things that I think that Timothy needed help with. And the fact here that he says, being mindful of thy tears, I think we could say that Timothy was an emotional person, one who could come to tears easily. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can get in the way if you're trying to speak. It can get in the way if you got a job to do and your emotions take control of you. So that's another area where I think that Timothy needed encouragement. And he says, which I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So whatever this faith was, whatever this hope that they had, it was one that they seemed to all have. We met a young man today, and he was telling us that about his father, and he's bringing his father along in this truth, and yet his father doesn't comprehend or understand everything about it just yet. So I think the thing we don't know is if he ever will. So it's a good thing when you can have someone who you have a like faith with, one that you are that you stand in agreement with. He says in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift." That's what we're going to be talking about this evening. The gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. What I'm going to be looking at, I'm going to go back and look at some verses in Paul's first some epistles, actually just a couple, Romans and then 1 Corinthians. And then we're going to come back to this again and read this and try to figure out what is the gift that Timothy has. The gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let me just say right up front, I don't think that it's the gift of healings. I don't think it's the gift of speaking in tongues. I don't think it's the sign gifts that was given to Israel. I don't think that's the gift that Timothy was given. So, let's turn back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 11.
Honey, can you try and speak up so everybody can hear you in the back, please? I know.
It's going to be tough.
I know.
I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, and my voice doesn't carry real well when I'm rested. I fear if I speak really loudly that I will not be speaking very well at the end. So I'll do my best.
Thank you.
I will look up occasionally. That will probably help. Romans 1:11. The other thing I could do, I could have Gary actually read these verses for me. He's a good reader. Can you do that for me, Romans 1:11?
Romans 1:11.
Yeah. And his voice carries, by the way.
Romans 1:11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that the end may be established."
So there was a spiritual gift here that he wanted to give him. This idea of something being spiritual means it comes from God. And it may be tangible, it may not be tangible. It may be invisible, it may be visible. That what we know about it is it comes from God. That's what makes it spiritual. Romans 6:23 is our next one. Romans 6, verse 23. What I'm doing, I'm just looking up words. The Greek word is 5486. So Romans 6:23.
"For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord."
So here he says this: the gift of God is this eternal life. So that's another gift. And of course, I'm asking myself the question: is this the gift that Timothy got? Then let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:9. 1 Corinthians is right after Romans.
Corinthians 12:9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit."
So here we have these gifts that are mentioned. He says one of them is faith. Another one is the gift of healing. And if we go on there, there's another one of working in miracles. There's another one of prophecy. There's another one of discerning of spirits. There's another one of different kinds of tongues or different kinds of languages. And then another one of interpreting these languages, these tongues. And I've asked myself the question again, is this the gift that he's referring to? And I'm going to say, I don't think so. What we do when we look at Paul's books, we take the first seven books that he wrote, and then we look at the last seven books that he wrote, and we divide them. And so these first seven books that he wrote, Romans and 1st, 2nd Corinthians, are those books. The gifts that are spoken of here, they don't fit into this dispensation. So let's go to chapter 12, verse 28. First Corinthians 12, verse 28.
And God has self-summoned the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities, or tongues.
So here are some more things that are mentioned. The one that sticks in my mind the most is the one he says the gifts of healings. I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Timothy. By the way, this is one of Paul's last seven books. Chapter 5. Here's Timothy that's ill, that's sick. He's having stomach problems. And the Apostle Paul, who, there was a time when you could just send him a handkerchief. That was enough. And you could be healed. Amen. Now this man that he loves, this man that he calls his son, his beloved son, he's not able to heal. And he's asking him to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, to help that. So again, I don't think that this is the gift that Timothy had. I don't think he got the gift of healing. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and just read verses 1 to 14.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is being received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of the good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and unwise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter.
I think if we'll just look again and just reread and just think about verse 12. Let no man despise thee of thy youth. And I said earlier that one of Timothy's problems was that he was a young man. And he lacked confidence. And so Paul is saying that doesn't matter. You're up to the job. You're capable. So don't let that youth, the fact that you're young, stand in the way. So what I'm going to suggest is these things that he's listing and mentioning, these are the things or the gift that Timothy needs to be strengthened in. And so, you know, as the Lord looks at each and every one of us, and we all have weaknesses, the Lord can give us that strength, that energy, that power to be able to do the job. He says to be an example of the believers in the Word. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, to set a good example for somebody younger, for somebody older, for just someone else. It's difficult sometimes when you're not only trying to do what's right, but you're trying to set a good example of how to behave, how to act, how to treat others. He says to do it in word, to do it in conversation, to do it in charity or to do it in love, to do it in spirit, to do it in faith, and to do it in purity. And just imagine this Timothy, this young man who lacks confidence, being charged with this testimony, with this work. And I can just see him wanting to shy away a little and say, you know, isn't there somebody out there better qualified, better suited to do this? And I'm thinking Paul's saying, no, there really isn't. You're the man of the hour. You're the man that that the Lord wants to use. Now, I'm not going to say if Timothy refused that the Lord wouldn't find somebody else, because the Lord does get the job done. But he really wants to use, in this case, he wants to use Timothy. And he wants Timothy to act and behave. If you think about it, Paul's getting up in years and he's getting ready to pass on. He knows that his time is short and he's going to be leaving this earth. So he wants to leave this ministry with someone else who he thinks is capable, who he thinks can do the job. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. One of the things that happens in my position there at Truth for Today is that people sometimes call, or they'll send me a note or a letter, and it's very encouraging. They say very nice things, and they tell me to keep up the good work, and they tell me that they appreciate what I'm doing. And there'll be other times that I don't get that, that I'll get other people write, and they either don't understand what I'm saying, or they think I'm saying something else, and so that's difficult. And so it's that kind of encouragement, though, that I think all of us need. We all need to encourage one another and help one another. And I think Timothy was just one of those guys that needed that. And so the Lord's going to provide that. He's going to give it. He's going to give it to him. And I think he's going to give it to him in full measure. Okay, now let's go back to 2 Timothy. In our first chapter. And since I've laid that groundwork, hopefully what I've said is the truth. And hopefully if what I've said, when we think about this now and begin to read the rest of this, it will make sense what this gift is. And I think it's an empowerment. It's something that helps Timothy to be able to do the job that he needs to do. First in verse 7 he says, we're back now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Was one of our presidents a few years back said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And I know that the people that are corrupt and evil try to use fear tactics to stop us. And I know that if we allow it, we can allow that fear to stop us from doing our job, from doing the task at hand. And he's assuring Timothy, and I think he's assuring us, that God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. We're on the winning team. And we may, struggle from time to time and lose a battle here and there. But when it really comes right down to it, we're going to win the war. We're on the winning side, and we have the best God, the one that's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, and is capable of giving us what we need to do the job. And then he goes on to say, but of power. And that has the idea that with energy. And by the way, God doesn't give us too much energy. If he would give us all of his energy all at once, he'd blow our circuits. So he doesn't do that. He just gives us enough to get the job. And if he gave us too much power, we would probably get to the place where we say, well, we really don't need God today. We'll just use the power he gave us yesterday. So he doesn't do that either. He really just gives us enough power to get the job done today. And then we need to seek him again tomorrow for the task at hand. And then he goes on to say, of love. And this is the kind of love, it's a giving kind of love. I hear a song every once in a while that says love doesn't cost, it doesn't cost a thing. And it's just love. And it doesn't cost a thing. I'm thinking, love costs a lot. And it's much more than money. It cost the Lord his life. And of a sound mind. You know, if you think about it, Timothy needed these kinds of things. He needed these kinds of helps to be able to do the job. Be not, he says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but rather be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I don't know if any of you ever thought about that, taking on the Lord's afflictions. Taking on the Lord's sufferings. I'm one of those guys that kind of try to avoid suffering if I can. I don't do very well with it. And I don't like it. So I try to do what I can. But you know, if the Lord lays something on me and it's something that I need to do, a work that needs to be done, then I'll ask him for his help. I'm not going to shy away from it. And if it takes some... Joe uses the expression, Joe Watkins, that it's not so much a suffering, but it's an enduring until the end. And that's what we need to be doing, enduring until the end. By the way, Moses made it up almost to the promised land, but not quite. He didn't quite get to go in. He stopped just a little bit short. And so the instructions to all of us are is to continue to the end. The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In verse 9 he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but our calling is nothing but a gift. Not something we earned. It's not something we did anything that we could say that God owes that to us. The calling is his calling. He's done the choosing. He's done the electing. He's done the predestinating. And it says it's not according to our works, but it's according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, that's before you and I were ever thought of. Before the world began is before anything existed. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think that's something else. It's a gift. Maybe it's something that we haven't thought about as a gift, but it's something that truly is a gift that's been given by God, taking us out of death. We're all dying, but we don't have to remain dead. The Lord can call us out, and we can be resurrected, seated at the right hand with him. He goes on to say in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. An apostle is a commissioned one or a sent one. And a teacher of the Gentiles. And a teacher is just an instructor. Someone who's apt to teach, who's apt to share, who's apt to give instruction. He says it's a teacher of the Gentiles, or the nations. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And I'm thinking again, I don't think that Paul had much trouble with this. He was a guy that was full of vim and zeal and was wanting to take on the task. And I don't think he felt the shame, but I'm thinking Timothy was somebody that needed encouragement. For he says, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, and each one of us ought to be able to say this, that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Because no one can touch that or destroy it. What we've committed unto him, and by the way, he's committed it unto us first, and all we're doing is committing it back to him, just you know, telling, just rehearsing his promises to us. And he says in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So again, I'm not 100% sure what that gift is, but I think it's these things in the context that he's been referring to, and I can think, as I think about Timothy, that he's a person that needed strength, needed encouragement, needed to get over that, the fact that he was timid, and that he would shy away from the truth. And I think that this can be said for a lot of us. I won't say all of us, but I'd say a lot of us need this same kind of gift from the Lord. The same kind of strength and empowerment. Thanks for your attention.